Dead or alive, you are coming with me.
Idiot! I'm sitting on a gold mine!
Don't make me smack you, sweetheart. I'll do it.
Taking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
This town needs an enema.
This most non-hideous.
Welcome to Comic-Con's, a geek podcast for the rest of us. Who are the rest of us? Well, I'm your host, Nick Stevens, and we're doing another, I guess, bi-weekly, weekly, suck one, fuck one, I don't know, it's already going to shit. A little bonus episode, right? A bonus episode where we talk about cartoons. We're talking about animated things, cartoons from our youth, you know? And about a couple weeks back, I did Batman the Animated Series, and we had some good suggestions on Facebook, you know, like Bucky O'Hare, you know, Silverhawks, you know. I'm surprised nobody said He-Man or Thundercats. That's just where my mind goes. But somebody even shouted out MASK, M-A-S-K, Mobile Armed Strike Command, Command with a K, MASK. MASK is an underground task force. Battling a criminal organization known as Venom, which of course stands for Vicious Evil Network of Mayhem. Not making this up. Theme song was incredible. Give you a little taste right here. Oh, shit. I mean, come on. If that song doesn't make you want to get up in the morning and seize the day, I don't know what will, you know? By golly, it's such a tune. Now, the show came out in the 80s, you know, a cartoon based on a toy line made by Kenner. All I really remember from the toys is that they were small, kind of like G.I. Joe's. And I remember, like, the vehicles kind of transformed into things, you know? And that's pretty much the show. The show, I'm not sure exactly which one exactly came first. I think it all came about at the same time, if I remember. And that from my research on the interwebs, it was kind of short-lived. It debuted in 1985 and ran until about 1986. So kind of short-lived, but I think the toys were still available till about 1988. So again, I was a baby, just a baby boy. And I vaguely remember the toys, you know, because in 88 I would have been, you know, waka. You know what I mean? Just telling my age. You know, I'm 36 now, kid of the 80s, 82. But the cartoon, not too much. Now, watching it again, I decided to pick a certain episode, much like I did with Batman the Animated Series, and I picked Highway to Terror, mainly just because it sounded cool. I didn't actually remember this episode from my youth or anything. I was really young, but I vaguely remember this cartoon, and so I picked this episode. Now, just to give you a rundown of some of the characters, okay, before we all get ahead of ourselves and we all start ejaculating before we can even finish ourselves. What? We got Matt Tracker, the leader of MASK. He's a multimillionaire. He's a philanthropist. Of course he's a philanthropist. And he's very blonde. He's so blonde. We got his son, Scott, who's always getting into hijinks and trouble, but he's great with machines. So great that he built a robot named T-Bob, you know, who is Scott's robot, and he's kind of, well, T T-Bob turns into a scooter. Scott rides him. Yeah, it's kind of gay, you know? And I mean that in the sweetest, most endearing way possible. And T-Bob also really likes it when Scott rides him. I'm just going to throw that out there. He gets really excited. I don't even know if that's... Yeah, trust me. Highway to Terror. Aired October 3rd, 1985. The plot is basically Mask trying to retrieve a stash of plutonium that Venom stole from a military convoy. Creepy Colonel from Venom. I don't even know what his name is. I probably should have looked that up, but I don't have it here, and I don't remember, and I don't really care. And these motherfuckers are like, they don't even shoot for it. Like, they're the U.S. military, and they don't think it's weird that a guy's just sitting in the middle of the road in a rocking chair.
Sergeant, up ahead.
Excuse me, sir, I'm Captain Miller. You're blocking a military convoy.
Oh, I am, am I? Well, you see, I'm a magician, and I'm here to entertain your troops.
What?
Watch. Over here, Captain.
Just what's going on?
Man your battle stations.
Guard the trailer!
Sir, the semi with the plutonium. It's gone.
What? That's impossible.
Tracker's government friend, or friend from the government, is trying to explain things, and he's exasperated, you know? All the while, Tracker is calm and cool and so blonde.
Are you sure it was Venom?
Captain Miller gave me complete descriptions of the uniforms and masks. It's been confirmed.
Huh. Said they were magicians, did they? That's amusing. The only tricks they know are dirty ones. Scan the personnel files for the mask agents best suited for this mission.
And here we go, okay? We got Bruce Sato, okay? Asian, vehicle code name Rhino. He's an engineer. He's just engineering stuff when he gets the call. We got Hondo McLean. He's a weapons specialist, a tactical strategist. And his vehicle code name is Firecracker, you know? Because why wouldn't it be? And no, he's not a male stripper working hard in a strip club, twerking it. He's playing football with some dudes, you know? Shirts for skins, you know? Nothing homoerotic whatsoever. Brad Turner, he's a vehicle specialist, I think. His code name is Condor, and he's jamming. Dude, he's always jamming. Now, I've seen a few of these, okay, because I wanted to watch at least one or two to kind of get in the vibe of the show, to kind of get that nostalgia back, because that's why we're doing this. It's all for nostalgia, you know? And sure enough, in one of the clips, like when it goes to him, when the call sign goes to him, and like, oh, what's Condor doing? You know, what's Brad Turner doing? He's playing a show. He's playing a gig, you know? This one, in this episode, he's just jamming out in a room, just straight up rehearsing. The music's playing. There's nobody else in the room playing, but there's drums and bass and everything. He is going off. He is just jamming, and I love it. I love how it just shows him in a rehearsal space, just rocking the fuck out. Then you got Alex Spector. He's a communications expert. For some reason, this guy's always talking to animals or feeding animals, and this one, he's giving a crocodile a carrot. Who the fuck knows why? Do crocodiles even eat carrots? I don't know. I know they eat people. Because you're always hearing about some kid in Florida that's been horrifically devoured by one because some fucking ass clown of a parent said, the kid can sit by the swamp and, you know, nothing's going to get him. You know, what's the worst that could happen? It always happens. But he's a vehicle specialist? No, he's not. He's a communications expert. And he also operates the Rhino Command Center. If you haven't picked up by now, kids, each character operates a different vehicle and each vehicle changes and each vehicle has a different code name that's powered by the mask that they have. You could YouTube all this, which I hope you already have by now, if you're remotely hazy on any of this. And if you're a fellow 30-something-year-old like me, you remember this show, so all this stuff might be coming back to you, like a swift kick to the head, Ralph Macchio style, or maybe a slow, dry rub, a la some mother-in-law's sweet, tasty barbecue ribs. Or I've just completely grossed all of you out, and you never want to think about your mother-in-law's dried, rubbed anything ever again. Buddy Hawk, he's a master of disguise. You know, he's an intelligence specialist. He's the Firecracker co-pilot, so I guess he shares that vehicle with Hondo. Sure, why not? Dusty Hayes, I've lost track by now, but his vehicle code name is Gator, you know? I really have no idea what he does. And then you got Gloria Baker. She's a champion race car driver and a black belt, but she doesn't have a vehicle code name because I don't think she has a car. In fact, you see her in this one little scene when it's like when it's selecting her. Valerie Baker, expert race car driver and black belt vehicle code name, none. Kind of a raw deal to give the one chick on the team. You know what I'm saying? They can't give her a car. it's kind of sexist. I know it was the 80s, but come on, it's kind of sexist. Don't worry, Venom has a chick too. I don't remember her name. I don't remember any of the names of the bad guys because they don't list them off. You know what I'm saying? I'd have to Wikipedia that, and I could do that like right now, but I mean, come on. What are we doing here? So the team is assembled, you know? Scott's so excited, you know, Tracker's son. Oh, Dad, gee willikers, are we going on a fucking mission? Stay the fuck home, son. Just kidding, that's not how it goes.
Dad, are you going on a mission?
I'm afraid so, Scott.
All right, when do we leave?
Shortly, but you're only going halfway. I'm dropping you off at Clear Lake with Mr. Spencer. You know where the 3-pounders are.
And where the pound and a half rubber boots are, too.
Now, Venom is going to use plutonium for something underground, but we don't know what. Side note, I love this animation. Like, it's very G.I. Joe, but it's so 80s, and it's just the best. It's just the greatest, and it works, and it has, like, this really creepy, like, synthesizer vibe, you know, where the 80s music is playing and the keyboard music is kind of going. But anyway, Tracker has to drop off his son, Scott, off at this weird, creepy old guy in a log cabin. To fish, I guess, and fry up some sardines.
Howdy, lad. Matt?
Hi, Mr. Spencer. Remember T-Bob?
How could he forget me? I caught more fish than both of you last time.
That's because you fell in. And with those fish all over you, you look like a can of sardines.
Like, what the fuck is going on in that clip, right? Like, did T-Bot really go fishing with them? And why is he dropping him off with this old guy? I mean, I guess he can't take him on the adventure with him because it's too dangerous. It's a kid. You don't want him to get hurt. And trust me, Scott's come along on some adventures, and he's almost gotten killed and almost gotten some of the team members killed by trying to intervene. So I get it. But who is this creepy old guy? And is he really cooking sardines? What's going on? So Mass goes to the highway where the military convoy was hijacked. Was it sleight of hand? How did it go missing? Ellipsis. Who knows? Dusty or Buddy or one of the guys, because they're all pretty much interchangeable. And it's like, what in the tarnation? It's as peaceful as a summer cloud and a summer fucking who gives a shit. And Soto, you know, the Asian, he's always giving off some like Confucius-esque, you know, quote, you know, that nobody really quite gets. Or at least everybody but Dusty, you know what I'm saying? Because I guess he's kind of like the redneck of the crew, you know? So Soto's like, an illusion is little more than a theft from the eye. Like, what the fuck? And everyone is always giving Soto a hard time because they can't understand, like, what the hell is he talking about? They don't understand his cryptic, you know, Confucius-esque sayings, you know what I'm saying? And Rust and Dusty's like, what in the thunder is he talking about, tarnation? Fuck, I'm ignorant as shit. And we don't know what your specialty is, but the rest of you guys have intelligence and, like, engineering and communications. Like, if you're scientists at the very least, I mean, you've cracked a book before. You know what I mean? Oh, but guess what? It's an earthquake out of nowhere. What the fuck? Tracker's, of course, calm the entire time. Very blunt. If there's one thing the Tracker is not ever, it's not calm. Does that make sense? And it turns out Venom is using this plutonium to make earthquakes? No fucking way. Like, why wouldn't they just sell it, get the money, and fucking bankroll another operation? Or just make a bomb with it, or like, you know, hold the world at ransom. No, God forbid. No, they're just making earthquakes. They're just killing people and destroying shit. Meanwhile, creepy old guy in the lake house is cooking up eggs and some rape drinks for Scott and T-Bob while they try to go swimming. And oh my God, the water's too shallow at the lake. Like, they can't even swim in it. How's that happening? Oh, maybe it's the earthquakes. And you know what they say? As Sato would say, a whale in shallow water amuses a shrimp. That's really not what he said. But you can imagine what it'd be like if he did. Never pet burning dog. I don't know if there's a real Confucius sayings. An old friend of mine from back in the day used to say them. It's kind of like a joke, you know? I think he read them on a fortune cookie, and we just repeated them because we thought they were ridiculous, you know? Like a whale in shallow water amusing the shrimp. Like, it's almost like they go so far out of the way to sound deep when really it's just more annoying, you know? Like, do we all need to wander off into the wilderness and, like, start some fires and roast a live animal to really kind of get in tune with our spirit animal? Is that what we need to do? You know what I'm saying? Do we all need to, like, traverse the hills and mountains of our youth to kind of get back to where we were? Huh? You know what I mean? I don't know. But Mass tricks Venom, switching out the plutonium, with the rhino truck that they're operating, and they get captured on purpose. Hilarity ensues because they're like, wait a minute, it's a trap. By the way, in this universe, you need masks because the military is so retarded that they'll loan propane to a crazy fucking looking colonel in a hot air balloon. Watch the episode. It happens. And I know it's for kids, and I get it, but I wouldn't have a show if I didn't talk about cartoons and kind of judge them in a retrospective kind of, what the fuck, you know what I'm saying? It really wouldn't work that way. And I'm not even judging it. I fucking love it. But, I mean, he shows up in a hot air balloon. And the general's like, get this guy some tanks of propane. He's out of gas. You know? Now, they could have been in on it since Mask was in on it. But that's another analysis for another day. But it's a trap. Rest in peace, Akbar. Cue the music. Great soundtrack again. Dun-dun-dun. Dun-dun-dun. And the good guys try to chase after them. But they get away. Venom always gets away. Because Mask stays behind to seal up the leaking plutonium because you know it's radioactive and you know it's dangerous and they're good guys and that's what they do. Which I kind of love because you want Venom to get away so you can fight him another day. I mean, that's better than having them break out of prison all the goddamn time. I mean, how many times is Batman putting a psychopath in Arkham just to have him escape? You know what I mean? At least here, hey, these motherfuckers got out. They're on the loose again. It's a constant, ongoing, waging war. You know what I'm saying? War on drugs is never finished. And the war on Venom is never fully complete. I guess in the 80s, we were like big on Cobra, Venom, you know, really anything that sounded evil, you know, Snake Mountain, Skeletor, you know what I'm saying? They couldn't go all out, you know what I'm saying? And have like a bunch of like Middle Easterns wearing turbans, you know what I'm saying? Like, get the infidel, you know what I'm saying? That would just take it too far, you know? But these guys were essentially terrorists, like all of them, you know? And even if Mask is clandestine and it's an underground task force, I mean, they're pretty much American. I mean, they're associated with the U.S. government because Tracker has a government friend and the military went to them for help. So there's that. Look, it's definitely a dated show because it wouldn't be an 80s cartoon without a PSA. Just like G.I. Joe at the very end. And knowing is half the battle. This has that with Tracker at the very end of the episode advising T-Bob and his son Scott not to dive into the lake without making sure that it's deep enough. So don't ever, ever dive into water until Tracker shows up and says, hey, it's about 6 feet. That'll do. Actually, he's not like a Lion-O or a He-Man. He's not a very assertive, all right, well, here we go. Team effort. Go team. He's not an Optimus Prime. He's very calm. Like I said, it's almost creepy. Like there's something subdued there. There's something hidden. There's something waiting to come out, you know, like a cannibalism or something, or a couple of bodies in the back of the truck that he's driving that turns into a jet plane, that also turns into a submarine, that somehow turns into a sexual Tyrannosaurus, you know? It's there. It's very, all right, what Sato's saying is we need to go now. What's Venom up to? Gee, what the hell are they doing, Tracker? Yeah, wasn't the Tarnation? Whatever it is, it's not good. You know what I'm saying? It's very serial killer-esque, you know? Who is that calm, you know? Maybe he's had years of training, but he's a multimillionaire and a philanthropist. Didn't say ex-Navy SEAL or Buddhist, but I love it. God damn, that theme song is so good. It's definitely dated, but there's great concepts here. Actually, I was kind of surprised that no one's capitalized on this, you know? But I'm not surprised why people loved it so much. While it's somehow endured, and while there's a million episodes on YouTube and there's kind of a little cult following. And yes, it was a huge hit from 1985 to 1988, creating toys and comics and video games. And now a live-action movie is currently in development with Paramount and Hasbro. And F. Gary Gray, whose name you might recognize from Straight Outta Compton and Friday. Yeah, that motherfucker's gonna do a fucking Mask movie? That's so random. So random that I love it. So yeah, does it still hold up? Well, it's no Batman the Animated Series, but I'll tell you this much. It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. If you can just kind of turn the brain off and kind of go through it again, you know, it's a kid's cartoon, of course, like all these are, you know? Now, it didn't really ignite anything in me because I didn't really recall it that well. And I don't even think I had any of the toys. I wasn't one of those guys. I was not one of those kids growing up that had every single action figure of every single intellectual property that was ever created in my childhood. You know what I mean? I was fortunate enough to have a very great childhood and to have a lot of toys and to have things that my parents gave me. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not bitching in the slightest, but I definitely wasn't one of those kids on the other spectrum that was just like, you know, every single big thing that came out I had, you know what I'm saying? Sean Lemley, you know what I mean? Like fucking Thundera, you know, Thundercat's lair, you know what I'm saying? Mumra's lair, you know, fucking Castle Grayskull and Snake Mountain, you know what I'm saying? I'd usually get one, and that would be like the one big one, and then I'd have to have everybody just play along. Like Bruce Wayne and fucking He-Man would have to share Castle Grayskull. You know what I'm saying? Or if I had the Batcave at one point, I even think. So that meant that Legion of Doom and the Turtles had to hang out in the Batcave. You know what I'm saying? I didn't get the Batcave and the fucking sewer lair. You know what I'm saying? And that's fine. I'm not bitching. I'm saying that's a great fucking childhood. And it kind of made for more creative storytelling when you're playing with your fucking toys, you know? But yeah, I didn't have any fucking mass toys. But I remember them. I definitely remember them. And they were small. Like I said, they were like the G.I. Joes, but they weren't like mobile at the G.I. Joes. So I think I'm pretty sure they were kind of stiff. If anybody can remember these things, please email us at comiccons podcast@gmail.com and fucking enlighten me. But that's all I remember. And I liked it. It's good. And I'm kind of excited to see what they do with this movie. It would be kind of cool to see. It almost, you know, watching this cartoon, it almost feels like the Fast and Furious movies, you know? Like a group of guys in cars doing crazy shit. Except these cars in the cartoon turn into other things. Like one guy's motorcycle turns into a fucking helicopter. Another guy's fucking car turns into a boat, you know? And they're all powered by these masks that they get when they sit around this table. But again, these people are like chosen. They're part of the task force. And their powers never explained, by the way. Like their powers, like when they do fuck shit up, it's never really defined. Like the powered mask, they're all over the place, you know? Like aura on, lift off, backlash, fire, penetrator on. Like some people have beams, some people have lasers, some people are able to like move other people with some kind of like telekinetic. It's all over the place. But the keyboard music throughout is kind of creepy and strange, and I like that. Kind of reminiscent of like the Thundercats music, you know what I mean? And you got a creepy old guy in a lake house. What could go wrong? So look, as always, I hope you liked this little session, you know? That's all this is, just a little session, just a little getting to know you. And that's all we're trying to do, you know what I'm saying? I noticed our likes have gone up from our last little promotion we did, where we were kind of promoting the page, and we were putting some stuff out there. So I want to thank everybody for the downloads and the feedback. You know, I love doing this, man. And it's fun to do. Even at the ripe old age of 36. So whatever we said on the show, remember, at the end of the day, don't take it seriously because it's just fiction. Thanks for listening.